It's the Reader's Notebook for Thursday, December 18th, 2014. On this date in 1799, George Washington was buried at his beloved Mount Vernon estate in a ceremony that was both solemn and simple. It was a home burial, and it took place in the countryside. Unlike the funeral of Benjamin Franklin, nearly 10 years earlier, in a major city and attended by some 20,000 people, Washington's burial was small by comparison, with only a few hundred present. Indeed, 4 days after his death, most people in the country had no idea that the general had died. In those days, the speed of a fast horse was the speed at which news, good or bad, traveled. The events that led to Washington's death and burial had begun 6 days earlier. On Thursday, December 12th, he was out on horseback, as usual, supervising farm work from late morning until 3 in the afternoon. The weather shifted from light snow to hail, and then to rain. Upon his return, it was suggested that he change out of his wet clothes before dinner, but he protested that such a precaution was not necessary. By the next morning, the general had a very sore throat, but he dressed and went outside after the weather cleared to select trees for removal. Throughout the day, his voice became increasingly hoarse. After retiring for the night, Washington awoke in a terrible discomfort at around 2 in the morning. Martha was concerned about him and wanted to send for help. However, she had just recovered from a cold herself, and Washington would not allow her to leave the comfort of their room. When a slave came to light the fire at daybreak, Martha called for Tobias Lear, the general's secretary. He found Washington in bed, struggling to breathe. Lear sent to Alexandria for Dr. James Craik, the family doctor, and Washington's trusted friend for 40 years. The general was bled, a standard treatment at the time, and given something to soothe his throat, but the mixture was difficult to swallow, causing him to convulse and nearly suffocate. As the morning progressed, Dr. Craik arrived, as did a second physician and then a third. But they could do nothing. At 4:30 in the afternoon, he reviewed his will and gave final instructions to Lear about his papers and business affairs. He thanked his doctors and sent them home. But Craik remained. Shortly before 10 o'clock, he asked to be decently buried, but not less than 3 days after his death. And less than an hour later, he died, surrounded by those closest to him, his wife, his friends, and his trusted servants, including his valet, Christopher Shields, who had stood by his bedside throughout the long, difficult day. Prepared for burial, as he asked, his body was placed in a mahogany coffin in the new dining room, the largest room in the house. On the 18th, he was entombed, following a ceremonial tribute by his fellow Freemasons and a short homily by his Episcopal pastor. Among those who stood by was Nellie Custis Lewis, the general's beloved adopted granddaughter, whose wedding earlier that year, on his birthday, was the last great social event at Mount Vernon. To the end of her life, 53 years later, she preserved his legacy and is buried adjacent to his tomb. I'm J.D. Reader, and this is the Reader's Notebook for December 18th, 2014. Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year.